to Talk That, NOLA Education, presented by New Schools for New Orleans. You're joined by your host, Dr. Jaquiel Ross. Today on the show, we're joined by Carrie Partridge, Director of Edible Schoolyard New Orleans, Megan Brummer, the kitchen teacher, and Jeremiah, a student from the Edible Schoolyard New Orleans. We are discussing the Edible Schoolyard New Orleans program at First Line Charter Schools. From the garden to the kitchen. How are you all doing today?
Good, thank you.
I'm doing well.
Great, awesome, thanks for having me.
Awesome. It's so good to have you all today on the show as we talk about such a phenomenal topic that is not really heard of so much across New Orleans schools. So I'm interested in digging in. And as always, I'm learning as I ask questions. And I may ask some more questions just to make up. I know everything there is to know about Edible Schoolyard New Orleans. So come on this journey with me. All right. So if we could first, everybody just tell me who you are and a little bit about yourself.
I'm Jeremiah. I attend Samuel J. Green Charter School. I'm currently in eighth grade, going on to high school next year.
Awesome.
And yes, that's about it.
All right. I'm Megan Brummer. I'm Jeremiah's teacher in the kitchen here at Samuel J. Green, and I've worked for Edible Schoolyard almost 10 years.
Wow. Dedication.
My name is Carrie Partridge, and I'm the director at Edible. I've been in this role. This is my ninth school year with the program.
Awesome. A wealth of expertise and knowledge on this call. Awesome. Well, we'll go ahead and dig in. If we can know first, like, why is there a need for Edible Schoolyard New Orleans in our education landscape?
I can get us started with that.
Go ahead, Carrie.
We really believe that kids need and deserve hands-on learning opportunities as much as possible, mm-hmm. and doing it in a space where not only do they get to learn, but they really get to get their hands in it and build ownership around the space. And often our gardens serve and our kitchens serve as a safe space. So it's a place that not only are we learning and growing together, but we're really building it out so that each and every one of us has a place of leadership and ownership in the garden and in the kitchen. And it really lifts up so many components of social emotional learning and academic learning and so many things in between. So we believe that every kid deserves to have this type of experience, and students like Jeremiah get to show us these really incredible skills that they happen to already have, and then we help them figure out what they want to do with them.
Oh my goodness. This is really interesting, and you all are doing phenomenal work at really developing the whole child through the Edible Schoolyard.
Yes.
Awesome. Anything you want to add, Megan?
I was just going to add that I think it's also important to have Edible Schoolyard for the teachers and the community. Mm-hmm. Having, for instance, the kitchen at Green, teachers can come in and see their kids cooking, but they can also get the food that their kids make, mm-hmm. which is just a really lovely exchange. And we also do things like family food nights. And so we try and get kids' families involved, which I think is really important, especially here in New Orleans, to kind of build that community and have it be all about the child and their family and their teachers all together.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And what better part than to do it all around food in the city of New Orleans?
Exactly.
Like, I love that the food is at the core of it. And while you're going from the garden to the kitchen, you are also developing meaningful relationships outside of the classroom. That are like go beyond. Like I just imagine when I was a teacher, being able to see my student in the kitchen, preparing a meal is like, I get to see them in a different zone that you don't normally get to see. So kudos to you all. And Carrie, how long has the Edible Schoolyard been around? What schools are a part of it? Let us know.
You could argue that Edible has been around in our New Orleans First Line schools for nearly 20 years. We started as an after-school program where kids were growing out of pots and doing really simple herb gardens and things like that. Okay. But the big heart of Edible really started right after Katrina, where it was born of knowing that there was not a lot of green space left in our city and certainly around our school, Samuel J. Green, which is on Valence and Ferret Street. There was a lot of need for fresh food and anything that created a safe and nourishing spot. And so we began to build out spaces with students and their grandparents and families and teachers and everyone that was interested, plenty of community member volunteer time to start what was once a tiny garden, just filling up a sandy space with a boat in the back and some other weird things that had sailed in from Katrina, and eventually to a place now where we have nearly an acre of a garden that is big and beautiful and has deep, rich history in it, and thousands of hands that have helped us get to where we are today.
The stories you all could tell, I'm sure. It's amazing. And you said the Edible Schoolyards are located at First Line Schools, correct?
They are.
And what schools are those?
That is Phyllis Wheatley Community School, okay. Arthur Ashe Charter School, Langston Hughes Academy, and Samuel J. Green Charter, where we are right now with Jeremiah.
Awesome. So parents, if you're listening and you're interested in the Edible Schoolyard for your children, they are all a part of the First Line Charter Schools. So be sure to check out their website so you can know ideally where those schools are and what's going on at them. And Carrie, while I have you, what's the mission and vision of the Edible Schoolyard New Orleans?
The mission is that we want Edible Schoolyard to be a place where we teach children to make healthy connections to food and the natural world. And it's really, so thinking about how our gardens and our kitchens and all of our family events are vehicles to help us build bridges and to help make those connections to one another and to all of the things that we're learning about ourselves and to nature and all of the pieces that really make up the whole cycle of life in our city in New Orleans. And the best way I think to sum up what that looks like is that we have an aim that we ensure that there's long-term well-being for our students and families and our school communities by bringing hands-on kitchen classes and garden classes into our school curriculum and to our school culture, maintaining beautiful school gardens. So really making sure that the ones that we have are speaking to our students and feel like an invitation, making sure that we have core academic learning happening in our classes. We're inviting as many people in as possible from our school community, really wanting it to feel like a safe space mm-hmm. for social emotional learning and all of the academic learning that can happen there too. And tons of collaboration so that we can have lots of community members and all the wisdom from the different areas of the city and inside of our building coming into the garden and the kitchen too.
Awesome. Two things while you were talking, Carrie, that really stood out to me. Mm-hmm. One is the community involvement that, you know, this is not just for the teachers or the students that attend these schools, but like you all are heavily involving the community to come in and be involved, not just look, but like be involved hands-on with the work. So I definitely applaud you all for that one. And secondly, I applaud you all because since the pandemic and since we had hurricanes here as well in New Orleans, there's been a big focus on social emotional learning. We know how important that is now more than ever. So again, hats off to you all for making sure that those two pieces are truly included and have definitely, I think, evolved according to you, Carrie, as well over the years of working in the Edible Schoolyards.
Yeah, I think that certainly any type of disaster, whether it be the pandemic or different storms and plenty of other things that have happened over the years, have taught us that our work is all that more important when that is happening, but also helping all of us be prepared for those moments so that we have that in our foundation and our students have that in their foundation.
Now, I gotta know, Carrie, because in New Orleans, it floods a lot. Have you all ever encountered any flooding concerns?
Oh, yes. We years back developed a lesson with the Greater New Orleans Foundation funding to really address wetlands and make sure that we're also teaching about the flooding issues and what that looks like and why it happens and what are things that we can do as a community and individuals to move towards a solution. but we also just have real flooding on a regular basis mm-hmm. at our schools. Some of our schools are a little bit more low-lying. And there have been times where we have Sweet Potato Fest that happens, Grape Bee Festival on a Saturday in fall at Arthur Ashe, and our potato patch had been fully flooded, and so it meant that it wasn't safe for consumption. So we instead just taught about safe harvesting and brought in potatoes from the Louisiana Commission. So we are always in it with everybody else, and just have to be ready and be responsive. But those are really great teachable moments too. So
yeah,
it's not
those are like really great teaching moments. Like I just remember teaching my plants in second grade. And just being able to make that connection, students see, you know, the plant evolving over time and growing. But like also with that part of mentioning the flood piece, students are learning how to problem solve, mm-hmm. which is such a critical skill. So definitely kudos to you all for uplifting the curriculum, making it real life and everything, but then also going further and beyond by making it really impactful. The students are able to problem solve and think through challenges that may come about in the process.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So Megan, let's hear from you. You've been pretty quiet, Megan. What values, when you think about the Edible Schoolyard, have you all instilled in students?
Oh, I think there's so many. I think one that Carrie had mentioned, right, was curiosity. And so mm-hmm. all of our lessons are based on inquiry. And so we're doing as little talking as possible as the teachers. We, you know, get the ball rolling, and then kids are figuring out how to follow recipes. They're figuring out what's going on in the garden. They're using their own minds to figure out what's going on. So curiosity. I don't know a word for this, but just the willingness to try new things, to, you know, take a risk. So that's a big one in the kitchen, is just, you know, helping kids learn that it's okay to try something. You don't have to like it. And then if you don't like it, how to express that in a polite way that's not going to hurt anyone else.
Yes, that's so important.
And then just a sense of teamwork, community. Everything we do in the kitchen is based around teamwork. Our kids mm-hmm. work in small groups, like in eighth grade with Jeremiah, he had a group of four kids, the younger kids in working groups like 12, but it's all about working together and making a finished product together, and how that feels.
Teamwork, oh my God. Teamwork is the word teamwork, it travels with you from childhood to to college and even to adulthood. Like it just never goes away. So yes, that just really stood out to me. So thank you all for, you know, for like really honing in on a teamwork, the curiosity. This is so amazing. This is happening right here in my own city, and I barely do. And I just wish like, I say this like every time, I wish I had this when I was in school.
We do too.
Me too.
Awesome. And then Carrie or Megan, either one of you, what themes have emerged for students connected to your mission or vision for the Edible Schoolyard?
There are so many. That's a hard one to even know where to begin. But I'll say that something that I've been thinking about particularly this week is the importance of a lot of our work is being centered on this idea that, if you think about a seed, mm-hmm. before you ever put it into the ground, that seed already contains everything that plant needs to grow.
Yes.
All it's waiting for is nourishment. It's waiting for the right sun, the right amount of water, maybe some additional nutrients, healthy soil, mm-hmm. and then it can grow into being what it was meant to be and its fullest, greatest self. And the higher the quality of the nourishment, then the higher quality and the more abundant the plant. And I think that is probably the greatest metaphor for the way we approach one another as a team and the way we approach our lessons and our students, is really thinking about our students come to us with everything they already need inside of them. They don't need us to give them anything, but they do need for us to provide a space and to provide lessons and approaches that bring about and help them find what's already inside of them so that they can decide, like, what do you want to do next? What do you want to do 20 years from now? What do you want to do tomorrow to be your fullest self right here, right now? And so, like, I'm not sure if that's a clear theme that shows up, but it's certainly something that really feels like a foundation that becomes emphasized more deeply for me every single year.
Yeah.
And especially seeing how our team grows and develops together and how none of us have all the parts, but together we are so much greater than the sum of our parts. And we're able to help make a space for kids that lets them be their greatest selves.
Yeah, that reminds me of an activity I did with students in eighth grade. Like a discovery walk, and we go on these walks. Sometimes we go on them alone. Sometimes we go with other people. We need support at certain times, and sometimes we're good. We're gonna figure out things as we go. But the discovery, the learning that takes place on those walks is so instrumental, so valuable to the students, and they're able to take so many things away. So thank you all for sharing that. And Megan. We're talking about local farmers. We're talking about this community aspect. How are local farmers and chefs a part of this incredible community project?
Okay, I'm going to give an intro and then I'm going to have Jeremiah kind of expound on a couple of these
things.
Because he's been a part of the experiences that we have with these individuals. But
okay,
so for farmers, the biggest one is Watermelon Day. We have Watermelon Day every year. And
can I get an invite? I want to go.
Yeah, of course. With the we've worked for years with the, make sure I get this right, Indian Springs Farmers Cooperative, which is in Mississippi, and it's a Black-owned and run group of farmers who actually grow watermelons specifically for us, and then just bring hundreds to the schools, and kids get to celebrate watermelons. So that's one thing. Awesome. And then in terms of chefs, we have a couple of events every year here at Green. One's called Market to Table and one's called Iron Chef, where chefs from the community come in and work with groups of either third graders or seventh graders to create dishes. And I want Jeremiah, if you remember about Iron Chef from last year, I was going to let Jeremiah talk a little bit about Iron Chef because it's a seventh grade experience.
Awesome. And he's in eighth grade. So tell us about it, Jeremiah.
This, since I wasn't here for third grade, this seventh grade year was my first time ever experiencing Iron Chef. I can tell you one thing. The food made there was absolutely amazing. The chefs were kind and welcoming. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of student independent work. Like the student had to figure out the recipe and figure out the ingredients and all that. It was a nice experience.
Do you remember what you made?
I don't remember what I made, but I can tell you one thing. I can tell you it was good.
I love Edible Schoolyard is fucking confidence as well.
Exactly. Yes. It's so fun though. The farmers and the chefs. I always feel bad asking chefs to come in at 9 a.m. on a Thursday or whatever, but they really love it. And the kids are so great. The kids are able to teach them what they know about cooking, and the chefs are always just so gracious and love the opportunity. I think it kind of awakens something in them and kind of reminds them why cooking is so cool. So it's a cool experience.
Awesome. And Carrie, could you tell us what happens to the food that you all grow?
A lot of people are excited to imagine that we send it to the cafeterias because I think that that's a natural impression, but what we actually do is we eat lots of food both in our garden classes and our kitchen classes that we're growing. And that's where the bulk of it is used. But we also have harvest tables that our garden team collects. They harvest pretty much anything in the garden that is ready and shareable and put it on a table towards the front of our school office or even outside of the entry of the building so that parents and staff and families who are coming and going from the school can take whatever they would like to try. And it's so satisfying to see people get excited about what came from the garden, and it often leads to more questions and then sharing later about recipes that they tried with it. But what also happens a lot is people share that, oh, I grew this as a kid, or my grandmother had this in my backyard. And so there's connections that can come from that sharing.
The stories.
Yeah, it's really such a sweet way to get fresh food to anybody that's interested, and also to just be able to talk about it. Like, what's it like? We put bouquets of flowers, different herbs for tea making, and try to keep a wide range.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing, Karen. I'm all excited. While I have you, Carrie, I was on the website and I saw that my curiosity sparked when I said that you all have animals at schools. And I was like, in New Orleans, there's animals at schools? Tell me a little bit more about that, Carrie.
We do. We this is our second school year of having chickens at Samuel J. Green.
Okay.
And so that's been really exciting to expand here and have this big beautiful garden that now gets to have some hens in the back, and those eggs, just like the other thing that I shared, get shared with families and kids get to take them home. And then at Langston Hughes Academy is where we've had animals for many years. Our school director there, Carrie Bevins, has always been really supportive and excited about getting as a wide range of animals and things so that kids can learn about those life cycles and learn how to take care of the creatures while they're in the garden. So we currently have goats and chickens, and we have a new baby goat, Dulce, and it looks like she's going to stay tiny. Ours are all pygmies, but a couple of them are bigger. The kids name all of our animals. It really is almost like having a family pet, because you think about how many hours you spend at school as a kid, and they get to grow up together because our schools are either pre-K or K through eighth grade. Mm-hmm. So potentially, you know, animals your whole kid life.
More relationships being built, not only with people, but with animals too. Love it. Jeremiah, I'm all yours now, Jeremiah. I want to hear from you. When were you first introduced to the Edible Schoolyard?
I was first introduced in sixth grade, but okay. It was a virtual experience. I seen more social emotional learning from it.
All right.
I don't remember much of it, but
okay.
Me either.
Yeah, I don't really remember that much of it, so I can't talk about too much about it.
That's okay. But
what I do remember is in my seventh grade year, the most biggest thing, as we mentioned earlier, was the Iron Chef. Mm-hmm. And that was like something totally new to me, because I never experienced that nowhere else, not at my old school, not like in a different state, because I moved to New Orleans in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
So it was much. And also, I also been doing with Spanish Cooking Club is also, I believe, a part of Edible Schoolyards.
Awesome.
I've been doing that since seventh grade, and I could tell you one thing. I have been learning Spanish and a lot of new recipes that I haven't learned before. I also earned my own cookbook that
awesome.
I can use at home whenever I get bored and decide to cook for my family.
Awesome. Well, so what's one thing, if you don't mind sharing with us, Jeremiah, one thing that you have really enjoyed cooking?
I see. So many options.
I know.
I could say I really enjoy cooking the Spanish food we made in Spanish Cooking Club, because it's something out of our culture. It's something we're learning new. It's like, it's not the same old stuff we're eating from New Orleans. It's all over the world, national food.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. You definitely are broadening your horizons. You're ready to go to Mexico.
I sure am.
Like, Dr. Ross, I asked him earlier if there was anything like top of the list that he's been making lately. And he's like, well, anything with a recipe. Like, just give me a recipe and I get to try and make something new. Which that was a really awesome answer.
Now, Jeremiah, do you follow recipes exactly? Do you add a little bit to it to make it your own little tasting?
Well, yeah, I was influenced by my kitchen teacher, Chef Megan, from we started off with the recipe. And as time go on, you could follow the recipe and add stuff that you like to it. And okay. I could say that I feel like I do a really good job with that because my stuff be tasting fantastic. So if you want to ever try some of my food, just come on over and I'll make you some food.
All right. Thank you.
I can vouch for him.
Thank you so much. Carrie, I'm going to come back to you. What are three big results you've seen over time with the Edible Schoolyard New Orleans?
I would say that you can start off with the major components of social emotional learning. That's a piece that our whole team has been deeply committed to for the last, in particular, probably 6 years. I think it's always been a priority for us. But if I needed to choose one area of that, because of course SEL is a huge realm all on its own, awesome. I would say the idea of safekeeping, that we are with students building spaces that create a space of belongingness, and that everyone has a place and everyone has purpose and we all have ownership. And for me, I would say that's probably the top thing that's most important. And I think most of us feel incredibly proud of is the impact that we're able to bring there. We also have a huge impact that we've tracked over the years for part of our evaluation of what we call willingness to taste. So are kids willing to try new things? Because there's an abundance of research that shows that the more willing we are to try new things as children, the more likely we are to eat whole and fresh foods when we're adults so that we can have happy, healthy bodies. And so it's important for us that kids always, we are just giving them the tools to make their own choices. So with that, it's giving them opportunities to taste things that are completely different, or maybe just a recipe they've had a bunch of times. But like Jeremiah was just saying, I'm with Chef Megan learning how to adjust the recipes and fine tune it to what they or maybe their families would like even better. And we track that to see, and it usually ranges right around the 96th percentile of children being that every time they're offered to try something new, they say yes. And that even means raw broccoli that just got cut off the stem. We're pretty, sometimes it's super simple and other times it's complex dishes.
As we prepare to wrap up really quickly, in the next 30 seconds, I'm going to ask each of you, it's about 10 seconds apiece. What is your one hope for the city of New Orleans?
Oh, I get the honor to go first?
Yes,
sir. Yes, go ahead. Really quickly.
I really hope Edible Schoolyard would be able to expand from more than just New Orleans. Like, it could become like a state thing for Louisiana. Awesome. And that would get a lot of kids to experience what I'm experiencing, which is like really fun activities and different cultures and different recipes and much more.
I think that's the best answer. I don't think it's any better than that one. Thank you so much, Jeremiah. Well, and Carrie, before we wrap up, Carrie, I know you have a gala approaching. Can you give us a little bit of information about the gala?
Yeah, I'd love to. It's called An Edible Evening, and it happens at Samuel J. Green. It'll be March 31st from 6 to 10 o'clock. From 6 to 9, we have the great big party where we have 17 different restaurants, Presqu'ile wine, Cure cocktail. We have some a beer garden. We have all kinds of food and drink for, so it's a grown-up party.
Awesome.
And then from 9 to 10 o'clock, we have what we call our late wave, where we have a DJ show up and it turns into a bit more of a dance party. But it's a really fun time for people to be able to come and see what we're doing with kids in our gardens and to fundraise. So most of the fundraising goes to staff salaries and it's a tremendous part of our budget. So it's really important to us. And we would love to have anyone listening come join us that evening.
Awesome. So if you're interested, be sure to visit Edible Schoolyard New Orleans website. You can purchase tickets there. Right, Carrie?
Yes.
Awesome. So thank you again to Carrie, Megan, and Jeremiah for joining us today on Talk That, NOLA Education. We learned so much today about the Edible Schoolyard New Orleans. And it was a pleasure having you all. Jeremiah, you are destined for greatness. And I wish you all the best the rest of your eighth grade year. And as you embark upon your high school journey. Be sure to join us next Monday at 12:30 p.m. We'll be joined by the school leader and students from the Rooted School to learn more about their industry-based credentials and internships. If you're interested in more about our dynamic teachers and what's taking place inside and around New Orleans schools, follow us on Facebook, the New Orleans Teacher Community, and on Instagram, NOLA Teacher Community. This is your host, Dr. Ross, signing off. Peace and nothing but love. You get living here from the people.